And now, Chapter 26, The Genealogical Table of the Family of Krishna. Krishna had 16,108 wives, and in each of them he begot 10 sons, all of them equal to their father in the opulence of strength, beauty, wisdom, fame, wealth, and renunciation. Like father, like son. All the 16,108 wives of Krishna were princesses, and when each saw that Krishna was always present in her respective palace and did not leave home, she considered Krishna a hen-pecked husband who was very much attached to her. Every one of them thought that Krishna was her very obedient husband, but actually Krishna had no attraction for any of them. Although each thought that she was the only wife of Krishna and was very, very dear to him, Lord Krishna, being Atmaram, self-sufficient, was neither dear nor inimical to any one of them. He was equal to all the wives and treated them as a perfect husband just to please them. For him, there was no need for even a single wife. In fact, since they were women, the wives could not understand the exalted position of Krishna, nor the truths about him. All the princesses who were wives of Krishna were exquisitely beautiful, and each one of them was attracted by Krishna's eyes, which were just like lotus petals, and by his beautiful face, long arms, broad ears, pleasing smile, humorous talk, and sweet words. Influenced by these features of Krishna, they all used to dress themselves very attractively, desiring to attract Krishna by their feminine bodily appeal. They exhibited their feminine characteristics by smiling and moving their eyebrows, thus throwing sharp arrows of conjugal love just to awaken Krishna's lusty desires for them. Still, they could not arouse Krishna's mind or his sexual appetite. This means that Krishna never had any sexual relations with any of his many wives, save and except to beget children. The queens of Dwarka were so fortunate that they got Lord Krishna as their husband and personal companion, although he is not approachable by exalted demigods like Brahma. Lord Krishna and his queens remained together as husband and wife, and Krishna, as an ideal husband, treated them in such a way that at every moment there was an increase of transcendental bliss in their smiling exchanges, talking, and mixing together. Each and every wife had hundreds and thousands of maidservants. Yet when Krishna entered the palaces of his thousands of wives, each one of them used to receive Krishna personally by seating him in a nice chair, worshiping him with all requisite paraphernalia, personally washing his feet, offering him betel nuts, massaging his legs to relieve them from fatigue, fanning him to make him comfortable, offering all kinds of scented sandalwood pulp, oils, and aromatics, putting flower garlands on his neck, dressing his hair, getting him to lie down on the bed, and assisting him in taking his bath. Thus they served always, in every respect, especially when Krishna was eating. They always engaged in the service of the Lord. Of the 16,108 queens of Krishna, each of whom had 10 sons, there is the following list of the sons of the first 8 queens. By Rukmini, Krishna had 10 sons: Pradyumna, Charudeshna, Sudeshna, Charudeha, Sucharu, Charugupta, Vadracharu, Charuchandra, Vicharu, and Charu. None of them were inferior in their qualities to their divine father, Lord Krishna. Similarly, Satyabhama had 10 sons, and their names are as follows: Banu, Subanu, Sparbanu, Prabanu, Banuman, Chandrabanu, Brihadbanu, Atibanu, Sribanu, and Pratibanu. The next queen, Jambavati, had 10 sons headed by Samba. Their names are as follows: Samba, Sumitra, Purujit, Shatajit, Sahasrajit, Vijaya, Chitraketu, Vasuman, Dravid, and Kratu. Lord Krishna was specifically very affectionate to the sons of Jambavati. By his wife Satya, the daughter of King Nagnajit, Lord Krishna had 10 sons. They are as follows: Vira, Chandra, Ashvasen, Chitragu, Vegavan, Vrisha, Am, Shanku, Vasu, and Kunti. Amongst all of them, Kunti was very powerful. Krishna had 10 sons by Kalindi, and they are as follows: Shruta, Kavi, Vrisha, Veer, Subahu, Bhadra, Shanti, Darsha, Purnamas, and the youngest, Somak. For his next wife, Lakshmana, the daughter of the king of Madras province, Lord Krishna begat 10 sons of the names Praghosh, Gatravan, Singha, Bal, Prabal, Urdvag, Mahashakti, Saha, Oj, and Aparajit. Similarly, his next wife, Mitravinda, had 10 sons. They are as follows: Vrika, Harsha, Anil, Gridra, Vardhan, Anad, Mahamsa, Pavan, Vani, and Kshudi. His next wife, Bhadra, had 10 sons of the names Sangramajit, Brihatsen, Shura, Praharan, Arajit, Jai, Subhadra, Vam, Ayu, and Satyak. Besides these 8 chief queens, Krishna had 16,100 other wives, and all of them had 10 sons each. The eldest son of Rukmini, Pradyumna, was married with Mayavati from his very birth, and afterwards he married Rukmavati, the daughter of his maternal uncle, Rukmi. From this Rukmavati, Pradyumna had a son named Aniruddha. In this way, Krishna's family, Krishna and his wives, along with their sons and grandsons, and even great-grandsons, all combined together to include very nearly 1 billion family members. Rukmi, the elder brother of Krishna's first wife, Rukmini, was greatly harassed and insulted in his fight with Krishna. But on the request of Rukmini, his life was saved. Since then, Rukmi held a great grudge against Krishna and was always inimical toward him. Nevertheless, his daughter married Krishna's son, and his granddaughter married Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha. This fact appeared a little astonishing to Maharaj Parikshit when he heard it from Shukdev Goswami. I am surprised that Rukmi and Krishna, who were so greatly inimical to one another, could again be united by marital relationships between their descendants. Parikshit Maharaj was curious about the mystery of this incident and therefore he inquired further from Shukdev Goswami. Because Shukdev Goswami was a practical yogi, nothing was hidden from his power of insight. A perfect yogi like Shukdev Goswami can see past, present, and future in all details. Therefore, from such yogis or mystics, nothing can be concealed. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukdev Goswami, Shukdev Goswami answered as follows. Pradyumna, the eldest son of Krishna, born of Rukmini, was Cupid himself. He was so beautiful and attractive that the daughter of Rukmi, namely Rukmavati, could not select any husband other than Pradyumna during her Svayamvara. Therefore, in that selection meeting, she garlanded Pradyumna in the presence of all other princes. When there was a fight among the princes, Pradyumna came out victorious, and therefore Rukmi was obliged to offer his beautiful daughter to Pradyumna. Although enmity always blazed in Rukmi's heart because of his being insulted by Krishna's kidnapping of his sister, Rukmini, Rukmi could not resist consenting to the marriage ceremony just to please Rukmini when his daughter selected Pradyumna as her husband. And so Pradyumna became the nephew of Rukmi. Besides the 10 sons described above, Rukmini had one beautiful daughter with big eyes, and she was married to the son of Kritavarma, whose name was Bali. Although Rukmi was a veritable enemy of Krishna, he had great affection for his sister Rukmini, and wanted to please her in all respects. On this account, when Rukmini's grandson, Aniruddha, was to be married, Rukmi offered his granddaughter, Rochana, to Aniruddha. Such marriage between immediate cousins is not very much sanctioned by the Vedic culture. But in order to please Rukmini, Rukmi offered his daughter and granddaughter to the son and grandson of Krishna. In this way, when the negotiation of the marriage of Aniruddha and Rochana was complete, a big marriage party accompanied Aniruddha and started from Dwarka. They traveled until they reached Bojakot, which Rukmi had colonized after his sister had been kidnapped by Krishna. This marriage party was led by the grandfather, namely Lord Krishna, accompanied by Lord Balaram, as well as Krishna's first wife, Rukmini, his son Pradyumna, Jambavati's son Samba, and many other relatives and family members. They reached the town of Bojakot, and the marriage ceremony was peacefully performed. The king of Kalinga was a friend of Rukmi's and gave him the ill advice to play chess with Balaram, and thus defeat him in a bet. Among Kshatriya kings, betting and gambling in chess was not uncommon. If someone challenged a friend to play on the chessboard, the friend could not deny the challenge. Sri Balaramji was not a very expert chess player, and this was known to the king of Kalinga. So Rukmi was advised to retaliate against the family members of Krishna by challenging Balaram to play chess. although not an expert chess player, Sri Balaramji was very enthusiastic in sporting activities. He accepted Rukmi's challenge and sat down to play. Betting was with gold coins, and Balaram first of all challenged with 100 coins, then 1,000 coins, then 10,000 coins. Each time, Balaram lost, and Rukmi was victorious. Sri Balaram's losing the game was an opportunity for the king of Kalinga to criticize Krishna and Balaram. Thus, the king of Kalinga was talking jokingly and purposefully showing his teeth to Balaram. Because Balaram was the loser in the game, he was a little intolerant of the sarcastic, joking words and became somewhat agitated. Rukmi again challenged Balaram and made a bet of 100,000 gold coins. But fortunately, this time, Balaram won. Nonetheless, Rukmi, out of his cunningness, began to claim that Balaram was the loser and that he himself had won. Because of this lie, Balaramji became most angry with Rukmi. His agitation was so sudden and great that it appeared like a tidal wave in the ocean on a full moon day. Balaram's eyes are naturally reddish, and when he became agitated and angry, his eyes became more reddish. This time he challenged and made a bet of 100 million coins. Again, Balaram was the winner, according to the rules of chess. But Rukmi again cunningly claimed that he had won. Rukmi appeared to the prince's presence, and he especially mentioned the name of the king of Kalinga. At that time, there was a voice from the air during the dispute, and it announced that for all honest purposes, Balaram, the actual winner of this game, was being abused, and that the statement of Rukmi that he had won was absolutely false. In spite of this divine voice, Rukmi insisted that Balaram had lost, and by his persistence, it appeared that he had death upon his head. Falsely puffed up by the ill advice of his friend, he did not give much importance to the oracle, and he began to criticize Balaramji. He said, "My dear Balaramji, you two brothers, cowherd boys only, may be very expert in tending cows, but how can you be expert in playing chess or shooting arrows on the battlefield? These arts are well known only to the princely order." Hearing this kind of pinching talk by Rukmi, and hearing the loud laughter of all the other princes present there, Lord Balaram became as agitated as burning cinders. He immediately took a club in his hand, and without further talk, struck Rukmi on the head. From that one blow, Rukmi fell down immediately and was dead and gone. Thus, Rukmi was killed by Balaram on that auspicious occasion of Aniruddha's marriage. These things are not very uncommon in Kshatriya society, and the king of Kalinga, being afraid that he would be the next attacked, fled from the scene. Before he could escape even a few steps, however, Balaramji immediately captured him, and because the king was always showing his teeth while criticizing Balaram and Krishna, Balaram broke all the king's teeth with his club. The other princes, supporting the king of Kalinga and Rukmi, were also captured, and Balaram beat them with his club, breaking their legs and hands. They did not try to retaliate, but thought it wise to run away from the bloody scene. During this strife between Balaram and Rukmi, Lord Krishna did not utter a word, for he knew that if he supported Balaram, Rukmini would be unhappy. And if he said that the killing of Rukmi was unjust, then Balaram would be unhappy. Therefore, Lord Krishna was silent on the death of his brother-in-law, Rukmi, on the occasion of his grandson's marriage. He did not disturb his affectionate relationship, either with Balaram or with Rukmini. After this, the bride and bridegroom were ceremoniously seated on the chariot, and they started for Dvarka, accompanied by the bridegroom's party. The bridegroom's party was always protected by Lord Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon. Thus they left Rukmi's kingdom, Bojakat, and happily started for Dvarka. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 26th chapter of Krishna, the genealogical table of the family of Krishna.